Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Tonga, the series of islands and atolls of Tonga, hit extremely tragically by an underwater volcano. The phenomenon of volcanism is a fascination, but the people on Tonga remain at severe risk. The Australian Navy, the Australian government, is seeking to rescue. However, the complication is that Tonga heretofore has been a zero COVID sovereignty. Therefore, no cases on the islands whatsoever, and they don't want to risk going through what we have here in the U.S. over the last 2 years. The Alpha iteration, the Delta iteration, now the Omicron. I welcome Cleo Pascal, Senior Fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, whose communication with Tonga tells us where they are now and going forward these next critical months of recovery. Cleo, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. What is the status of the main island, and what do they know about the subsequent islands that have been out of communication? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So just for context, I've had the privilege of working with Tongan colleagues and in Tonga over the last many years, and have been trying to get a hold of them, as everybody else has who cares about the people of the country, and was lucky enough to get text messages through to Mr. Tevita Motulalo, who is a veteran Tongan journalist and strategic analyst. He was with the Royal Oceania Institute think tank, which my think tank, Chatham House, worked with on a project just 2 years ago. The phone line was not stable enough for voice, but it was okay enough for text. And so we exchanged text messages for about an hour before the line went out again. And in that hour, he conveyed enough information about the situation on the ground to be able to put out a report on it, which is, I think, probably the article that you saw, and that's been picked up a little bit. He said that, first of all, the people of Tonga themselves have been incredibly strong at, and the word he used was amazing, in terms of getting the cleanup operation going. But what happened was almost biblical in terms of the eruption. Everybody's seen now those images of the eruption, and they were not that far away. So it was raining pumice, and the subsequent tsunami washed water completely over sections of several of the islands, including parts of the main island, and destroyed the waterfront of the capital, which is where a lot of the main buildings are, as well as a lot of the fuel supply infrastructure, their minimal strategic reserve, and the lines that are used for offloading the fuel. So there have been some pretty serious problems, infrastructure problems. Agriculture has been affected. In some islands, salt water has affected the freshwater aquifer as well as the agriculture. There's been mercifully minimal loss of life. Three people that they know of have died. But in terms of the outer islands, there's some that, as you said, their communication has yet to be reestablished.
This is 104,000 people, approximately, at the last census. And the main island is Tongatapu. Do I say that correctly? Tongatapu, which is also out of communication, but you're demonstrating that the communication comes back variously. About the zero COVID and about the road ahead to reestablish food security, what is the expectation? Did your correspondent communicate that about getting supplies in? Because supplies want to come in, but also the personnel have to handle this delicately, if at all.
Yes. So one of the things that happened during the explosion was a massive amount of ash covered the runways on all of the islands. And the runway on the main island has been cleared. It was cleared by hand with shovels and wheelbarrows and brooms by the local population, which allowed the landing of some emergency aircraft, including from Australia. As mentioned, because of the COVID protocols, it's sort of a drop and leave situation where they leave the stuff and then just go. I'm not quite sure how they're going to handle this going forward, nor are they. This is a brand new administration. This government was sworn in about a week before. It's worth mentioning that the king himself, that it's a constitutional monarchy, and the king is in the country, and the king has extensive military experience. He's a trained military officer who was prime minister of the country, and he's a smart, dedicated man, and I would expect that he will try to make up for some of the lack of experience of this new government. But again, this is all speculative because there is so little communication. So for me, that kind of one of the main takeaways from this is there have been millions poured into emergency response and telecommunications infrastructure in the Pacific, and they collapsed. And this is the second time Tonga has been cut off. Its cable was cut by a dragging anchor just a couple of years ago as well. They need systems that are much more redundant. And, you know, one of the ideas that has come up now is to go back to ham radios, at least have each country have, you know, some ham radio operators, which they don't. So if the satellite goes out, in the case of a conflict, kinetic conflict with China, we would expect the satellites and the cables to be cut very quickly. This shows what that means for operating in the countries of the Pacific. We need better systems in there for emergencies and for defense.
Elon Musk agrees with you, Cleo, for the Starlink system. And there are other competitors who want to get that constellation lit up so we can all be attached without depending on land-based communication. Food, however, I understand that the crops are damaged by the ash, that they have no confidence that the land will give them what they need. So did your correspondent mentioned a timeline here. What they might need to evacuate, I'm thinking, if they can't feed everybody.
So the main island seems to be okay for now. The outer islands definitely, I think one at least has already evacuated. And the assessment will have to be done. I'm not sure what's happened to the fisheries. A big problem, the boats were taken out. So one of the things that was requested by the national government was outboard motors and, you know, just ways to go and be able to catch the fish. There are shops, and this showed up another social issue that's come up. One of the things that Mr. Motolalu said was on the day of the tsunami, the majority of the shops are run by recently arrived ethnic Chinese backed through Chinese investment. And the majority of the small shops that have the fresh water and the food are run by people who may not have the community linkages as some of the Tongans do, the people who've been there for, you know, thousands of years. And there are reports that some of them closed their doors and didn't provide water and food, especially to those who didn't have ready cash available. And that's created a very poor feeling in the country towards these shops and shopkeepers. And that's a developing situation that needs to be monitored.
Yeah, that connects to my understanding from you about what happened in the Solomon Islands. The Chinese immigrants are distrusted by the native population.
Yeah, and it should be very clear. So these aren't actually immigrants. These aren't people who moved to the country to make a life for themselves in the country. There's some very old ethnic Chinese populations that are just part of the country. These are often people who come for 5 to 7 years, make as much money as they can and leave. Or in the case of the Solomons, they're workers who are coming on infrastructure projects who may only be there for a few months. So that's a very different dynamic. And in terms of China, the other China factor that he mentioned was he said that there are reports that China is going to try to come in with a very big package for the redevelopment phase, which concerned him because when Tonga had problems in 2006 with the riot, China came in with a big loan, which has affected Tonga's dependency to China quite dramatically in some cases still. So first everybody has to be safe. And then once everybody is safe, there needs to be a very serious assessment of how to reinforce the emergency infrastructure and also to make sure that there hasn't been a geopolitical shift that will disadvantage the people of the region.
Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy on what we know now about the Tongan people. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.